Pacific Home, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. We're here each and every night as well on video, our Phil TV video cast, which is a live video cast of our show from the El Pacifico. Behind me, the roiling surf of the El Pacific. And you can join us on that as well at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, with a backstage pass. You get access to that and all kinds of things, all kinds of audio. And here it is, Thursday night, tomorrow's Friday. Then we have the Memorial Weekend, which is the traditional kickoff to summer, so it ought to be a rock and roll summer. It's going to be a real good summer. I just got a feeling it's going to be good, you know.
Well, now, how did things go today? Because you were talking to some professional, you were talking to some very heavy professional people.
I think it's going good. As you know, our last show on Talk Radio Network is on the 24th, and we're transitioning to... at this time, we're, you know, it's like you got to ask yourself a question, folks, and I don't know if you are aware of this. We've talked an awful lot about it on the show. Do you want to really go back into terrestrial radio? Do you want to go into satellite? Do you want to go and a digital show? And by digital show, I mean we make the show available by way of a podcast. We do a show that's available on the website, and we just continue with our subscription model, and then, of course, continue on with our one-man show push, which, by the way, that was part of the conversation that we had today, was exciting because one of the guys we were talking to is a producer, and he's produced people that you know. He's produced radio people that you know who have done live stage shows, one-man shows, etc. So, and we're talking about theaters, and so it, you know.
Well, you thought that was a little bit more appropriate for you.
I mean, if you're going to do a one-man show, don't you think?
Yeah, but I mean, you don't think you're all a Mr. Actor or anything, do you?
Yeah, that's the thing we're worried about. Are you all of a sudden, well, now I think I'm trying to think of who that was, Lily Tomlin?
Lily Tomlin did a one-woman show.
Well, the same thing. So you're out there and you're putting on makeup. Are you going to wear a robe backstage? What are you going to do?
Yeah, wearing a bathrobe.
I don't know if I'm going to wear a bathrobe backstage. What are you worried about?
Well, we don't want to see you go New York. I'm on the boards. You know what I mean.
I'm not going to go New York on the board stage act. What are you talking about?
You wear a bathrobe backstage. That's all we're saying.
Yes.
If I wear a bathrobe backstage, you'll know I've gone rotten. Is that it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I won't wear a bathrobe. I'll wear jeans and a t-shirt. Is that okay?
Well, just stay dressed. When you see an actor wandering around backstage in a bathrobe, you want to throw up. You really do. You want to vomit because you just know, well...
That you've lost him, huh, as a friend?
You've lost him as a friend, as a professional, and more importantly, you've lost him as a real human being, and now he is in the grasp, he's in the throes of an ego, a swirling ego vortex, I don't know.
Like a tornado of an ego.
Because I just want to be clear, because he's wearing a bathrobe backstage.
Yeah, how many ways different want to see it?
What?
How many different ways do you want to say it?
He's saying, how many different ways do you want to hear us say it?
Well, I don't know where this came from, but you guys are as weird as ever, and I shouldn't be surprised. If I'm wearing a bathrobe backstage, don't worry, I won't wear a bathrobe backstage, okay?
There's a little more to it, Phil, than that.
All right, well, we'll... So I was having a conversation today, and by the way, if I talk to them again, I'll say, oh, and please keep the bathrobes away from me, because I may be tempted to wear one, and then I'll look like an ass, and my crew on the radio side will really think they've lost me.
Thank you. That's all we ask.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mr. Henry.
You're welcome. Wow.
Well, Phil, don't think you've got the market cornered on mental.
No, I don't think I have the market cornered on mental. I think I may have the market cornered on mental health in this room tonight.
Yeah, you don't understand.
Yeah, okay. Amanda Bynes tries to use Google as a photo identification for flight. And here's where Margaret and I are going to have another argument here.
No, we're not going to have an argument. What I'm trying to make the point about Amanda Bynes is that she was without her identification. She used Google. She tried to tell the TSA person, here is who I am. She tried to tell the captain that. And these people are so by the book, you can see she Googled herself. How many average people can Google themselves?
I don't know. All I know is, and we ought to know enough about this by now, that in the world today, we got more celebrities than we got anything else. We seem to have more celebrities than we got scientists. We got more celebrities than we've got teachers. We got more celebrities than we got cops. We got celebrities coming out of our, you know what. So, what are you looking at, bud? Get away from me.
Well, you said coming out of your you know what.
Have you had that CAT scan?
I want to do it.
I made an appointment. I want him to have the CAT scan because I know there's nothing wrong with him, but I just want him to go through the torment of it. All right, so Amanda Bynes was banned from a private jet in New Jersey because she tried to use Google as a valid form of photo identification, TMZ reported. Sources at Teterboro Airport told the Celebrity News website that Bynes didn't have a driver's license or a passport when she showed up at the private jet terminal Sunday for a flight to L.A. The 27-year-old actress said her driver's license had been suspended and she had no other form of government ED. Bynes then Googled herself to show the pilot who she was, but was told the internet search engine wasn't considered valid identification. She was forbidden to board the flight. TMZ said the private jet company, which it didn't name, wouldn't comment on its story for privacy reasons. Bynes is the former star of TV's The Amanda Show and What I Like About You, as well as the films What a Girl Wants and Hairspray. Her once bright career has been eclipsed in recent months, however, by reports of erratic behavior, a motor vehicle offense. She's weird. She's all messed up.
This is where I think that Amanda Bynes needs a break. If you don't have identification, and I've done this, Phil, as you know, in Detroit, 2 years ago.
Boy, there's a good city to not have ID to go on an airplane with.
Why do you say that?
They've had their fair share, I think, of bomb threats and incidences. You know, they've had some hard times there in terms of security.
Let me ask you something. If I don't have my ID, all I have to do is Google Margaret Gray. And one of the things that comes up is reporter. There's a photograph there of me, I think, at a...
That's the one at the Beverly Hills tea party or something.
No, it's not a tea party. It's the Beverly Hills what, Robert?
I got it right here. The photograph of you, along with your husband, Frank.
Yes.
And then there's a picture here of a midget.
Let me see that. It's Dr. Ruth Westheimer. Don't be so thick. Do you remember Daniel Day-Lewis in the film There Must Be Blood?
Yeah.
Don't be thick around me, Robert.
Okay, so he got it wrong.
Her name is Dr. Ruth West. A midget. God.
Well, she used lifts or something. She want to be midge.
I don't know what to say, other than to say this.
But I wouldn't let you on the plane.
Well, what? Are you telling me they didn't let me on the plane because I had a midget next to me?
Could be.
Well, they didn't let... No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they didn't let you on the plane, Margaret, because it's not a valid form of ID. Here is the pilot telling Amanda Bynes that.
Well, then they have to change the process, I think, because a lot of us, especially those of us at the higher end, at the higher echelons, those of us who breathe the rarefied air... Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not being egotistical. I'm just telling you how it is. We need some way of having them know who me is, or let me start all over.
Who is you?
Let me start over. We need some process whereby we, as those who work in and around celebrity, as well as the celebrities themselves, we need a way... So we, them. Damn it.
What are you getting all confused about?
I'm trying to keep it so that your audience understands.
I'll say it, okay?
No, because you'll carve it up. We need way.
Let's do the baby talk.
I'm not doing baby talk.
I'm going to have to go to a break here in like 30 seconds.
We need way, me, they know me.
Okay.
Me, I can tell by the way you're looking at me that I sound like I belong in a cage, don't I?
No.
Yes, I do. I can tell by the way you're looking at me, I sound like I ought to be sticking my finger up my butt and looking at it from inside a cage.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
Isn't that true?
We'll be right back, folks, in a moment here with more news for you. Trayvon Martin case is heating up here. There is evidence now that the defense team, they released some photos and some texts. We may be, you know, getting into some heavy news there, but you know, we'll look at that. And then Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper but doesn't get nude in We're the Millers.
Are you going to do...
Yeah.
Me need...
I don't know why you don't just say... I don't even know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Me.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I just had on the screen there briefly a picture of Frances Farmer. Bless her heart, she was a actress, a good actress. She was in movies in the 40s. The reason why I'm showing these images on Phil TV of Frances Farmer, why am I looking? What is that, bud?
I don't know. It can't explain. It looks like a laser or something.
Yes, they can explain it. Go ahead, Phil.
I'm sorry to interrupt, folks, but we saw something that looked like a laser light show.
Donna Cooper Anderson show.
The guy's name is Anderson Cooper. I made that mistake, too. It's simply their films from the tornado. I'm making this story. I'm talking about Frances Farmer because Amanda Bynes, while I was reading a story about her trying to get on an aircraft using her Google ID, now she's been popped in New York. Within the last hour, the story came out. She was busted throwing a bong out of the window of her New York apartment. Cops busted actress Amanda Bynes on Thursday night after she tossed a resin-coated water pipe out of a high-rise apartment window in Midtown. Oh, was she getting rid of evidence, or was she just, like, dropping a freaking water pipe out a window? The staff at the Biltmore... Is that a residence, or is that the hotel? The staff at the Biltmore on West 47th Street called police after they spotted the troubled former TV star smoking weed in the luxury building's lobby around 7:40 p.m., which would make it around 4:40 this afternoon. Officials arrived at Bynes' 36th floor room only to find the 27-year-old one-time Nickelodeon celeb under a heavy sativa spell and the apartment reeking of pot. Spooked by the surprise visit, they said Bynes suddenly chucked a clear, foot-long bong out her window while the dumbstruck cops watched. So she was trying to get... Sativa's not sativa is illegal. What was I thinking of? That damn... That's that crap that people smoke that isn't illegal, but it's like, just... I don't know.
Dog, something like nutmeg.
Nutmeg, there you go. Luckily, the bubbler didn't break any skulls below. Police charged Bynes with reckless endangerment, tampering with evidence, and marijuana possession. She was dragged off to Rosewell Hospital to undergo a psychiatric evaluation, according to sources. So she's in some trouble here, this woman. And, I don't celebrate it, but obviously she's got to get her thing together. I mean, like this kid, the way they cover celebrity these days, you just got to, if you're any way near off the rails, your ass is up for grabs, man, because they're constantly, they got a camera up your butt morning, noon, and night. They're looking at you. They're looking at everything you're doing. And if you are like squirrely, it's over.
Well, you were going to talk about Frances Farmer. Now, are you saying that Frances Farmer, she was already targeted by the press and by these terrible people?
Yeah, well, Frances Farmer was an actress who was a considered herself a serious actress. And I don't know the whole story, and I might be getting a lot of it wrong. But I had on Phil TV a very classic shot. This is almost iconic of Frances Farmer. She's being restrained by a Los Angeles cop there. And I think this is in a courtroom. She's kicking, and you can see...
Yeah, you see all the way up her dress and everything.
Oh, you are vile.
Well, you can.
So, why are you looking up her dress? Why don't you look into her troubled eyes? Why don't you look into the fact that she's being restrained? Why do you have to look up the dress?
Because it's right there for us to look up, Margaret. I mean, it's a pretty natural thing.
Well, I can understand you, but him...
Never mind. So Frances Farmer came to Hollywood and got into the movies, and in the process was, I suppose, difficult to work with in some ways. She also exhibited some, not insanity, she was just a very, very a tough chick, and she didn't take a lot of crap from anybody. She didn't suffer fools very lightly. She was not an individual to play the fawning little starlet without, you know, telling people behind the scenes how she really wanted it to be, and so on and so forth. And these are pictures of her that I'm just scrolling through. She's a beautiful woman. And I saw her in a couple of movies. She was a good actress. Now, I don't know if that's her. That's a color shot of somebody that looks like her. Jessica Lange played her in a movie called Frances from the early 80s. Now, if the film is at all accurate, and I've read some short biographies of Frances Farmer, she was just somebody that was considered contrary by a then very male-dominated society and certainly a very male-dominated film industry. She was someone that was considered to be too argumentative. You know, again, the old story, if it was a guy, they probably wouldn't have batted their eyes. But because it's a female, and I've read stories, for instance, of actresses like Katharine Hepburn, who was a tough chick, and she was somebody that controlled her own career, but apparently Katharine Hepburn did it in a way that was very inoffensive.
Well, Katharine Hepburn knew to play to the conceits of men, while at the same time controlling her what would become a legendary career. Katharine Hepburn, Kate Hepburn, Phil, was one of a kind. Kate, in my way of thinking...
Did you know her or something? You're all calling her Kate and everything.
No.
Then why are you calling her Kate?
That's my...
Oh! Hey, watch it.
I don't like him questioning me like I'm a thing. Like I'm something in his bedroom inside of a jar. Both those things you keep in your room?
Well...
All right, just, bud, shut up. So Kate Hepburn didn't get into trouble because she was able to play to the conceits of men, is what you're saying.
Yes, and Frances Farmer didn't do that. Frances Farmer was very uncompromising. Frances Farmer, you might say, did not do the very thing that the world did do. Okay?
Yeah?
Well, now you ruined it by going, yeah, because I wanted that nice moment of silence.
All right, so he said, yeah.
Frances Farmer didn't engage in the very thing that the world was engaging in at that time that would lead it into the conflagration known as World War II, which was appeasement. Appeasement. You see, she didn't do that.
And she wound up being dragged into her own personal conflagration.
You could say that. Yes, she was. But she maintained her integrity right up to the point they brought out.
They brought out what?
Well, there's a little phrase for it. There's a blues song, in fact. I kept my integrity up to the hammer. I kept my integrity till they tapped the hammer. I kept my integrity till the spike went in. They hit it with a hammer. I'm all in.
What is that?
Lobotomy blues.
What
do you mean lobotomy blues?
God, that's sickening.
You've never heard lobotomy? You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I kept my integrity of the hammer went in. And then I'm all in.
Well, Mavis Leonard has it. If we want to bring Mavis on, we can. But she knows the song. It's an old Hollywood song. It's one of the few blues songs that did not originate in the cotton fields of Alabama. It's a song that originated in the, you know.
The dressing rooms of Hollywood.
Well, don't be sarcastic, Phil.
Well, that's what you're telling me. It's a blues song that originated in the slave quarters of Hollywood.
Yes, you could say that.
Oh, yeah, the slave quarters of Hollywood, where there's a poor actress in the... Oh, man.
The lobotomy blues says it for a lot of actresses. Well, I don't do the blues like Mavis, but... Well, I was born by a river in a little tent. Just like that river, I've been running ever since. Keep the hammer and the spike out of my nose. Woo!
All right, fine. We'll be right back, folks. I don't want to break right now, but we'll be back with Mavis Leonard. Keep the hammer and the spike out of my nose.
You don't know how they do lobotomies, then.
How they do them?
Wouldn't you like to know?
No, I wouldn't. It's not funny, Margaret, okay? It's not funny.
They don't do them anymore. They don't do them as much. Well, they don't. Very few every year. Well, they're holding the numbers down.
Great. Tell you one thing, as long as I got my wits about me, if I've got anything to say about any of it, lobotomy, no, 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 no. Electroshock, no, 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 no.
padded cell? No.
Well, if they're considering a padded cell, by that point, I probably have I've passed the point of no return. No way am I getting it. Hey, the way they make that stuff look in the movies, who would ever submit to that? All right, we'll be right back. Is Mavis?
I'm calling my, hey, Arnie. Arnie, you want to send get your harmonica? Got a harmonica? Yeah.
You don't have a harmonica. Never mind. Bring her on. We'll do without the harmonica. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, I was born by a rib. How dare you?
Sorry, just checking to see you.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're very happy to have with us Mavis Leonard. Mavis is the aunt of Robert Leonard, who is part of our panel, our crew. He's also head of our security here at our studio. Mavis, how are you this evening, dear?
I'm very good, Phil. Thank you.
And we were asking about, Margaret wanted to ask you about Lobotomy Blues.
Yeah, hi, Margaret. How are you doing?
I'm good, dear. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Do you remember Lobotomy Blues?
I remember Lobotomy Blues, but it's not a blues song from the Southeast. That's a
No, we know it comes from Hollywood.
It come up from Long Beach by way of the L.A. River.
It came up the L.A. River from Long Beach.
Yeah, it come up the L.A. River from Long Beach with the colored actors. And the colored actors started singing, could start out like this. And we didn't have no cotton fields in L.A. But what we had, just, you know, a gas station, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a colored actor, they used to say colored, now they say black, you know. But back in the old times, say a colored actor would be sitting around a coffee shop waiting for a talent, waiting for his agent, you know. And be saying, well. All of my mind, I sang a song about the bottom of the moon. I was not right for the director. Well, they wanted to take me down, but it was bottom. It kind of went down, you know.
So it evolved from there.
It evolved. They, I wasn't right in my head. And the director man wanted me to go to bed. I said, this ain't no casting couch. You look like a fool. I'm not going down the bottom of the blues. Like that. So that kind of went like that, you know.
Well, was there an actual song?
Yeah, there's a song. I had to get to the history of it, though, first, Phil. You got to slow down. Margaret, you ought to slow Phil down a little bit.
He's been like this all night.
Slow down, Phil. Okay, let me get to the history of it, everything like that.
Yeah, well, you're on it. We're on the radio, and everything's got to be on time.
I understand that, Robert. You know, don't stop making like your Stephen, Stephen Bird Blueberg or whatever his name is.
Steven Spielberg?
Yeah, don't make like you're running the show, okay? I understand you have time and all that. I'm gonna do it. So, Phil, a song about me blues is about when they get a movie star like Frances Farmer, you know, and she acting a fool and they don't know what to do with this girl. She is just as crazy. You know, as a Mad Hatter, you know, so she all running around Hollywood taking her panties off, you know, sticking them in a man's face. I don't care how much a man loves a woman, you cannot do that. You cannot. That's not right at all. Take your panties off and go, here, have that for lunch and shove it right up. And that's bad, you know.
Good Lord.
Yeah, so it goes like this. Goes, well, woo! I got the bottomy blues today. Well, I went to the casting director's office. They said they got a job for me to do. I told the man to keep his hands to himself that day. He said, I ain't gonna be in the play. I got lobotomy blues if I'd only spread that day.
Okay, thank you.
You hung up on her.
I can't. It's pornographic.
That a little bit about spreading.
Yeah, a little bit about spreading. He said I'd be in the play if I'd spread today. No way, man. No way.
Hey, that's just a song. Said I'll be in the play if I spread today. No way, no way, no way. Will.
Yeah.
Come on. Call her back. I'm sorry to hang up on your aunt, you know.
I got her right here. No, she's... Hey, she doesn't know you hung up. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, well, you're still on the air, yeah.
Everybody tell me woo. And that's how it ends.
Well, that's fantastic.
I have to tell you, Mavis, he hung up on you and is pretending.
Would you shut up, please?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Nothing, never mind.
So anyway, Mavis, so that's Lobotomy Blues, huh? Now, do you remember a woman by the name of Frances Farmer?
Say that again.
Do you remember a woman by the name of Frances Farmer?
I do. I remember a woman who was a farmer.
No. Do you remember a woman?
I know. I remember a lot of women.
Well, hold on. Do you remember a woman named Frances Farmer?
Do I remember what? Was she the lady who had a candy store?
No, dear. Not a candy store.
I don't remember a woman named Frances Farmer. I knew a man named Frances Farmer.
Okay, now this would be a woman.
All right. And I knew Frances Farmer candies. I knew there was a Frances Farmer lube, or not what they call lube, but it was a lube. It was a lubrication that they sold in a Frances Farmer lubrication for women over 50. I remember they had a Frances Farmer Frances Farmer party pack with sausage, cheeses, and that kind of thing.
Okay, now I'm not asking about any of that. I'm asking about an actress named Frances Farmer.
Well, I didn't know there was an actress named Frances. Yes, I remember Frances Farmer, that actress, but she was crazier than a crab house, a crab shack. She was crazier than a crab shack.
Crab house?
Crazier than a crab shack. Crab house? What?
Yeah, like the outhouse with crabs.
No. She was crazy.
Yeah, she was crazy. And they sent her out of town. Now, here what happened to Frances Farmer. She had a lobotomy because she could not, they couldn't control her. And that poor girl, after she had that lobotomy, she went home to Indianapolis, Indiana. That's where she come from.
Mm-hmm.
And she wound up hosting an afternoon movie on TV. That's no lie.
So she was hosting the afternoon movie on the local Indianapolis TV.
Yes, and what years were these, dear?
This is in 1960.
So well after her heyday in Hollywood.
Well, I don't even think Frances Farmer had a heyday in Hollywood, because she was a very troubled young lady, and she never really settled down, Very lovely girl. But she had a lobotomy, and that's where they put that knitting needle in your nose, and a man take a little hammer, and he goes, "You're just going to feel a little prick in your nose." And immediately you're starting to think dirty. And
just never mind. So we know how the lobotomy works. So she had a lobotomy.
Yeah, she had a lobotomy, and then they took her back to Indianapolis, dropped her. They would take her everywhere, and they would just put her down on a chair and go, "Now." And she'd start talking, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Frances Farmer, and this is here. It's going to be a movie. I hope you enjoy our movie today." And then they'd say, "Okay, cut." And then she'd slump over it. And they'd...
Is that what happened? Is that what a lobotomy does?
Well, I don't think it's quite that dramatic. Lobotomies are not as dramatic as a lot of people think. Now, yes, in some very radical cases, you do have to render. You see, you have to render the individual to the level of drool.
You have to make a drooler. Also, the doctor has to make a choice. Do I let this person function at a low level, or do we go all the way to drooler? In other words, they just can become a ghoul. So the doctor has to go either to the DG, or you let them be LL.
Yeah, low level or drooling ghoul.
Drooling ghoul type, right. Now,
DG. All right, thank you very much.
Wait a minute, man. You can't hang up.
You're laughing, Phil. That's very serious.
What? DG?
No, hanging up on Mavis.
No, it's a good thing you did. You start going into DG, drooling ghoul, all that. No way.
Well, what is DG?
Dog, it's drool ghoul, or drooling ghoul.
When you give someone a lobotomy, Phil, It's shorthand. Either they become low, you know, a low-level functioning person like Francis Farmer, or they turn into a full-on ghoul drooler. Or ghoul, or drool ghoul. Goo-goo, no.
Yeah. Well, I'm just very grateful that I don't think, although I thought I read an article not too long ago that the lobotomy is making a comeback. I don't know that it's quite that strong. I know it's a very, very radical treatment for people that have manifested like extreme rage and anger, things like that. And I think it was way, way overdone in her case. She didn't need a lobotomy. She wasn't. She was just a woman that didn't like being messed with. And, you know, at a certain point, the more you go against the way things are, the more angry you're going to get as you get resistance. And that anger is read by the people that are trying to keep you down as you're psycho.
Yeah, you're off your nut.
Exactly. You're off your nut, you know.
You're not trying to get your nut. You're
what's the language, please?
Sorry.
So you, so you're off your rocker, and they take that to mean that, and that's where you get into these, it's like a slippery slope, and the next thing you know, you're going down the slippery slope.
In a mud puddle.
And you're in the, yeah, you're in the mud puddle of life. So that's what happened to her, man. I don't think she had anything more wrong with her than she was just a very contrary, to some people, she was a contrary person. And you ever get fantasies when you're a kid, you know, you see a woman like that, and you think, God, if I lived back then, I would rescue her.
Yeah, I do, yeah. Tell her, like Billie Holiday, you know, if I lived back then, she had me around.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right. So I remember when I was a kid, I would see something on TV, and I go, I could save her if I was an adult. I know what to do, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, right. Who were you fantasizing about as a kid? Dale Evans?
Dale Evans? No. I don't even know who it was. I don't know who. I didn't fantasize. Movie stars? No, I didn't have. I remember one time I was a kid watching Mad World, and who was the actress that played Sid Caesar's wife in Mad World?
That was Edie Adams, or Edie Gourmet. Edie Adams.
Edie Gourmet.
Who was it?
I gotta look it up, man. I think it's, I don't know. I don't know any people.
Well, her ass was the greatest thing I ever saw. Even at that age, at the age of 9, I knew that I would be an ass man for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life. Because it was just, you know, like Al Pacino, I think, articulated it for all of us when he said, she got a great ass, you know. But anyway, I was watching this. I'm 9 years old, and I'm fixated on this woman. So, and I wouldn't know her to fall on top of her. Although, had I would have been in whatever passes for 9-year-old heaven. So we'll find out what her name is and a whole bunch of other stuff. We're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We're wrapping up Customer Appreciation Month. Customer Appreciation Month is coming to an end very soon, so make sure that you get your free downloads when you sign up for a backstage pass. You get 1 free download for a month. You get 3 free downloads for a 6-month pass. You get 5 free downloads for a 1-year pass. philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Great shot here. Kim Kardashian is showing her gut there. She's, I guess it's the TV show, right?
Yes, this is from the reality. What, did you think she just stopped and pulled her shirt up for...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't watch the damn show. And I know more about the Kardashians than most people because Bobby Dooley follows her.
Bobby Dooley.
And by the way, Bobby Dooley, she's... What is her podcast? The Bobby Dooley podcast is available on the Sideshow Network. You can... listen to it right now, I believe, is Jimmy Pardo Part 2. Rick Overton next week on the Bobby Dooley podcast.
Yeah, she's going to get the guy, the director.
What director?
Cameron Crowe.
Oh, Cameron Crowe. She's going to have him on?
No, she's trying to get him on, but I don't think he's... I don't think Cameron Crowe is a wonderful man. Very, very talented. I don't think he's comfortable... in the setting with Bobby. She's very
Well, don't talk too much about it. We're going to get a phone call from her.
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I think these are things that need to be told to her. I think they're things that need to be said to her.
She's on the line.
Well, are you kidding me?
No, we're not kidding you. There she is. Bobby, how you doing? As if you didn't know, we were just talking about you.
Yes, I heard what Margaret was saying. I just wanted to tell her I'm sorry that I'm doing... Boys, could you turn that off? Wait, the car alarm went off again.
Last time you were on with us.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's... Seth, turn the car alarm off. Turn the car alarm off, honey.
Okay.
Well, you're the one that started... I'm sorry, Margaret, that I am... that I have a podcast and you don't.
Well, I don't need a podcast, darling. I'm doing fine as it is. All I know is that Cameron Crowe is frightened of you.
Well, no, he isn't. I think he's frightened of the fact that I am a great interviewer.
Yeah. Well...
You know something, Phil?
Ladies, I don't want...
Will you turn that off?
Oh,
you see what you made me do?
I did not make you hit that boy.
Well, yes, you did, because there is a... I think there's some audio somewhere where you were spanking your son.
That was 6 years ago.
Well, it doesn't matter, because... You've got me in such a... I said to turn it off.
Look out!
There, how does that feel?
If you're hitting that child because of me...
Bobby, would you stop doing that?
No, I'm in a bad mood. I just heard my name dragged through the equivalent of radio mud. I am already in a bad mood because, frankly, we're having a hard time getting Mr. Crowe on our show. Get his license number. I said to get his license number. And turn that off. I swear to God, Margaret, if one of my kids dies today, it's because of you.
Bobby, you are going off. You're going off half-cocked.
Bobby, don't, you know, calm down, okay? Just calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down. I was listening to this pig.
You called me a pig. I never thought you'd get to it, but you finally got it said, didn't you?
That's right. Did you turn it off?
Yeah, bud.
She finally got it said. I'm a pig.
Well, you are, for the things that you've done, for what you just said, but Cameron Crowe being reluctant to come on our show. In fact, I'm here with my boys. It's almost midnight. I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing out here. Okay, that did it.
No, Mom, no, Mom, no! Ow!
I'm out of here. I am so out of here. Turn off the car alarm. Get the license number of that guy. Get your ass in the car. Here are the car keys. You drive.
I don't know how to drive, Mom. You...
Okay, they, you know...
Buddy, call the cops?
Call the cops? I don't know.
I think it might be prudent.
No, I don't think it's prudent. I don't know what's going on there, but let her get in the car and let her get home. And, you know, when you know that she's wound up like that, you don't need to make it worse.
What did I make worse?
You know, the whole Cameron Crowe, he's tough to get on your show, Bobby's this, Bobby's that. You know she's flipping her lid.
I think she's got a mindset now where she thinks she's a star.
Well, she is kind of a star of a lot of stuff.
She's not a star. You're looking at a star. If you want to talk about just the world of journalists, I'm a star. Bobby Dooley is not a star. Bobby Dooley is a black hole, if you know what I mean. Okay? Bobby Dooley is a hole, and that hole, like any black hole, sucks...
Bobby, is that you?
Yeah, I'm listening to myself. Go ahead.
I was going to say...
That I'm a black hole sucking everything in. Is that it? Let me tell you something, Margaret. Because you said that, I'm going to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm going to see if your husband is there. And we'll just see how faithful he is to you.
You dirty slut. I can hear your car alarm, slut.
You know, this isn't over. Turn it off.
You know, you guys started out doing really well, and all of a sudden there's this bad blood. What happened?
I don't like her getting ahead of herself in this podcast.
Quit. I told you to quit sticking it in, quit digging it in. When she's on, just let her have her moment. Margaret, you've been on our radio show every single night. And now you're sticking it in here and pissing her off. She's got these three boys. It sounds to me like she's smacking one of them. She hasn't even left that parking lot.
She won't leave the parking lot. I don't think she's smart enough to leave that parking lot. All she has to do is put the key in and open the door. Right, Bud?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of car alarm it is. Generally, you don't put it on a remote.
Yeah, I got a button on the keychain.
Well, call her up and tell her. Okay? Didn't one of you guys tell her that?
Well, not really.
No.
Would you call her back and tell her how to turn off a car alarm?
Okay.
You were saying?
I was saying that she is acting high and mighty.
Yeah, Miss Dooley?
She's acting high and mighty. What, Bud?
Yeah, hold on. Miss Dooley? Yeah, you want to turn off the car alarm, there ought to be a button on a keychain. And the what? You got to go get it. You got to go get it.
She's out of control, you know.
You got to go get it.
Well, she's got to go get what?
Keychain.
Well, what did she do?
Why'd you do it? She threw it in the street. You got to go. Don't send your son.
Give me the phone. Bobby, don't send your son to get the keychain. Hold on.
Well, he's indispensable, and I would never do that to my son. But of the four of us, if one of us were to die, he's the one that it makes more sense. Not because I don't love him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the pig again. I thought I heard some mooing and...
All right. Just have a cop or somebody from the garage go get her keys so she can get out of there. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. That is Kim Kardashian showing up again.
Gotta do that with her butt, man. Showing her stomach, why don't she show her butt?
Yeah, that's what she had to do, show the butt.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico.
Doug Dinger is joining us, and Doug is on with us to talk about a variety of topics related. Can we get that car phone? Is that Bobby Dooley?
Yeah, just talking to her.
We'll get her.
Wait, is she still there?
Yeah, well, the cops are going to come now, and the AAA, or the cops.
Is it AAA or the cops?
Well, it's the AAA cops.
There ain't no AAA cops.
Well, what's the truck they send?
It's a tow truck. It's a guy that comes and gets your keys or whatever. What are they going to do?
Well, they're going to send a AAA truck up or a AAA cop.
There are no AAA cops. You guys got that right, see? No AAA cops.
Well, the guy's got a badge and everything, don't he?
They got a big star on the side of the truck that ain't a badge. So what is he going to do?
They're going to come, they're going to Slim Jim the car because there's another key in there.
Where's the other key that she threw in the street?
They're probably just gone. They don't even know where it is. They think it got run over by a truck.
Oh, God. Okay. So is there a cop there, did you say?
No, they're going to have her husband come down, Mr. Dooley. He's on his way down, but he's over at our house putting in a sprinkler system.
Well, he ought to stop at the sprinkler. What time is it, man? The guy's putting in a sprinkler system now? It's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I guess it was a pretty big job.
Yeah. Have him go down and take care of his wife and his sons.
You see what I mean? She's a mess. And she's getting messier. And now she's calling up Cameron Crowe and these other very influential people, throwing your name around, Phil.
I told her she could.
Uh-huh. And trying to get them on the podcast and going, oh, hi, oh, hi. And I can imagine the dirty, just the very loose behavior of the woman. You know how women are. We'll do anything given the right time and place. And I say that as a woman, and I'm not proud of that. But given the right time, the right place, and the right need, we'll do anything.
That sounds pretty promising.
Ooh, get out of here.
I wouldn't touch you, Phil. I mean you, Bud, with Phil's you-know-what.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Three guesses.
In any event, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show into our new hour. Doug Dinger is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about Joe Francis, who called the jury that convicted him, quote, retarded. Jody Arias in the penalty phase. Apparently, the jury's been unable to agree on a sentence. And we were sitting here discussing Jody Arias with her dark hair. She's a very pretty woman. She's got that innocent look to her that we were saying is going to sucker some guy out there in America land, and he's going to start writing to her. And what are you pointing at me for?
Well, you're the one that's talking about it.
Well, if it's you, Mr. Henry, you could be the one.
I ain't gonna write her. But I'm telling you, she's got the whole look. She's looking like the damsel in distress. She's crying. She feels lousy for herself. You know, she's convicted of whatever the hell it is. And now it says the jury unable to agree on a sentence in the Jody Arias case. So now what they're going to do is they're going to impanel a new jury. She's been bawling like a baby. And I think she presents to the world the look of a woman who is stunned. She doesn't know what's happened to her. She thinks that she's innocent. Oh, my God. And now they're going to, now what are they going to do? They're going to fry me? Oh, goodness gracious. And she's crying. And that's exactly the look that some of these poor clowns out there in America land, I don't know what they're doing, who they are.
I'll tell you exactly who they are. There's a man out there right now, and he's just come in from, and he's parked his tractor or where, whatever, and he's come in from the tractor and the farm fields, and he sits down at his television set. His wife passed on a few years ago. He's a hardworking man. He's wearing overalls. His children are grown. They've moved out. He has, a man that he hires to help him. He goes into the house very tired, dirty hands at the end of a very long day, opening his mail with the TV on in the background, and he looks and he sees her innocent face. And he says, oh, well, I'll write to that girl. She looks like such an... And the next thing you know, the thing, Jody Arias, and he's on the phone to her. Oh, you know, where do you live? Well, I live in Iowa. Oh, that's close to where... Could you send me some money because I don't have any money for the car? And the next thing you know, a man who had a prosperous farm, the memory of his wife hanging in the air around that beautiful home, his children off doing what they do and visiting. But this man who's so alone is brought low by the thing. Now, I admit she's very hot, and it might even be worth it, but...
It's not worth it.
Don't throw that at me.
I'm sorry. It's not. What do you mean worth it? What you just painted there, that picture you just painted, would worth it? That guy can't be that stupid. Any man that was able to carve out a life that you just expressed?
Yeah, he's not going to fall for some skank what wants more money on a commissary.
Well, what do you know about it?
I wouldn't even... Well...
Take a look at her, bud. Wouldn't you want a shot with that?
She is kind of nice. Hey, ma'am.
Are you nuts or something? If I ever find out that you're writing her letters, believe me when I tell you, man.
You can't tell me who to write letters to and everything like that.
I'm not going to tell you who to write letters to. But if I find out you're writing letters to her, I'll fire you.
Gee, that's against the law. You can't... That's discrimination based on the love of a man for a girl.
For a what?
A dead girl.
A dead girl?
No, a girl.
That's not what you said. You went girl.
Yeah, I was thinking about The Hobbit, and I thought about Galil. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. So that was Doug Danger will be with us here in a moment. Galil. I've heard of Gollum, but...
There was a Galil, too.
All right, so that's Doug will be... Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper but doesn't get nude in We're the Millers. Jennifer Aniston's got a great publicist. I say that with the greatest of respect. I do. I wish her nothing but success, but I don't really think these movies are... Okay. Marijuana, the next diabetes drug, all that and more coming up here on The Phil Henry Show. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier joining us on the line here from Orange County, California. Doug, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Phil, real good.
All right, so we've got here Joe Francis in trouble, and then we have the Amanda Byers. Let's go ahead with Joe Francis first.
All right, well, one day after Joe Francis declared that the jury that convicted him for assault was, quote, mentally effing retarded and should all be lined up and shot, the Girls Gone Wild founder has something else to add. He was only kidding. On Thursday, Francis issued a statement of The Hollywood Reporter apologizing for his appalling comments. I deeply regret the remarks attributed to me. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil. I also got this for on behalf of the Orange County Courier. But as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I told Joe Francis' people, I said, look, you're going to deal with me. You deal with me and only me. Don't deal with anybody else over at the Orange County Courier because I want to make sure they know they're dealing with a gay man. And
no, then why is that important?
Why is it important? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Oh, so, all right.
Are we going to have this argument again?
No, I just wondered if there was some other reason.
No, there's no... I'm a gay man. I'm gay, all right? You know that much, don't you?
Yes, I know that, Doug. You know by now I know that.
All right, don't go all When you start going off on your homophobia, man.
There's nothing homophobic about what I'm saying. I just wanted to know why you called the Hollywood Reporter.
It's not the Hollywood Reporter, man. It's the Hollywood Reporter.
I know it's the Hollywood Reporter. Why you call them up and tell them I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, send it to me. Is there a reason for that?
Because I'm the entertainment reporter. I'm the entertainment writer and director at the Orange County Courier, and I'm gay. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. All right, so let me get back to this story. You sidetracked me enough.
Sorry.
The Hollywood Reporter, Francis, said on Thursday issued a statement saying he deeply regretted the remarks attributed to me in the interview with the Hollywood Reporter. They were hurtful and do not reflect my true feelings. While I disagree with the jury's verdict, as I am completely innocent of the charges and intend to appeal, I was afforded a fair trial, and if I lose at the appellate level, I will reluctantly but fully accept the jury's verdict. On May 6th, Francis was found guilty of 3 counts of false imprisonment, 1 count of assault, 1 count of dissuading a witness from reporting, stemming from a 2011 incident in which 3 women claimed Francis refused to let them leave his Hollywood mansion.
Now, let me ask you something, man. This guy was convicted of dissuading a witness, so this cat was in touch with the witnesses?
That's right. That dissuading a witness, I think, is the same thing as jury tampering. This more specific, being in specific contact with a witness and so forth. That's a pretty serious crime, and as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I can tell you, here's a guy that's a heterosexual. He's a heterosexual man. He's been convicted of crimes based upon his heterosexual activity at Hollywood Mansion. This guy is tampering with witnesses. He's doing everything. And yet, if I was a gay man, if I'm gay, I am gay, then if I'm there on trial for tampering with a jury and having girls coming through my place, and...
Well, if you'd have guys.
I wouldn't know. I'd have the girl. No, not necessarily. I'd have girls.
Why?
Because they're models. Maybe I want to talk to them and sign them to contract. Who knows? So,
So you're a gay man and a gay journalist. You'd have 3 women. You wouldn't let them leave your mansion.
Right. What's unusual about that?
Well, why? What about having men there?
I would never be caught in my mansion with men. I mean, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. But most of the people I interact with in society are either females or men. Most of them are straight. I do have gay friends. I have gay relationships. But if I'm going to have women coming through my place. I'm going to have gay men. First of all, I need to keep up appearances for my neighbors. Second of all, I want to make sure that I've got all of Hollywood and all of the entertainment business focused on my place if I need to do interviews. And I'm not going to get all these interviews if I've got nothing but boys running through there. So I got women, and I got lots of them. Now, if I don't let them get out of my mansion, it's because I want to interview them.
Okay, so in any event...
So I'm saying, I can see how serious this is. They claim that he refused to let him leave his Hollywood mansion. And here's the thing. If he had sex with him, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, if I have sex with a woman, I'm going to damn sure make sure that she's not going to tell anybody, because then it's going to come down like a rape as soon as the cops show up.
Wait a minute, Doug.
This is weird.
You're a gay man and a gay journalist. If you have sex with a woman,
yeah.
Are you bisexual?
You know something, man? What has that got to do with it? Boy, that's a personal question, man.
You just got done... Personal? You're telling me you're gay, okay?
Oh, here we go. So you don't like me saying that I'm gay?
No, but then you turn around and tell me you're having sex.
If I've got 3 beautiful women in my mansion, what do you think I'm going to do? Get real, man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That doesn't mean that I'm dumb.
Well, that doesn't sound like what a gay guy would do.
Oh, well, why don't you enlighten me on what gay guys do? Go ahead. I want to hear this. This is great. I've been gay, and I've been out for about 6 weeks. But you know more about it, so go ahead.
Well, there's not a gay man that I know who talks about having sex with women.
Well, you know one now. And I'll tell you something, Phil. Having sex with women is a convenience. Yes, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, you're going to have sex with men. You prefer that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I prefer to have sex with other gay journalists. That's because I'm devoted to my job. So as a gay man and a gay journalist, I would only have sex with other gay journalists. Now, barring that, you have sex with beautiful women. Barring that, you have sex with average-looking women. And then barring that, you have sex with gays that are not in your profession. So there's a pecking order.
Well, I didn't hear any of this, Doug. Is this new?
What do you mean, is it new? What are you, all of a sudden, like, we just published it last week? It's the way things are.
The way things are is that you first and foremost have sex with gay journalists.
Yeah, only gay journalists.
And if there's none available, then you have sex with only beautiful women.
Only beautiful women. If none of them are available, then I go down to the next level, which is average-looking women. And then I have sex with gay men who are not journalists. And then I have sex with, then I'm back to ugly women.
All right, I got to take a break. Doug Danger is with us here as we are talking about Joe Francis, who is a straight man, a straight producer, and who was convicted the other day for a variety of crimes. He called the jury retarded, and now he's taking it back. And, you know, he hasn't even been sentenced yet. So this cat is, he's not acting all that intelligently. We'll be back with Doug Danger and more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I'm talking about being
the Phil
gay,
Henry
you know?
Show.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Photo gallery up by way of a TV guide. Doug Danger is on the line with us here to talk about some of the entertainment news that's been going on. But you really, Doug, I'm sorry, but I'm fascinated by this whole concept that you are a gay man and a gay journalist with a pecking order as to sexual partners.
You know, the more we talk about this, the more off track we're getting. I'm on here to talk about Joe Francis. I'm on here to talk about Jody Arias. And as a gay man's gay journalist, Phil, and because I am also the number one, I am the entertainment director at the Orange County Courier, you're getting me sidetracked with a whole lot of, you know, questions.
Well, Doug, we want to find... You said you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yes, I said I'm a gay man and a... I've been saying it ever since I met you people.
I know that, but then you say you have sex with women.
You got to understand something. Where you people don't know what you're talking... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been telling you that you got it from the... Turn that down, will you, honey? I got my niece and nephew here again this week. Turn that down. You got to turn it down because I'm on the radio. I'm talking on the radio. My niece and nephew. And did you do your homework? Did you do your homework? Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Well, hey, man. You know, Jody, did you do your homework? Then you turn off that TV till you do your homework. Did you do your homework? All right. Anyway, so I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, here's the thing. If I'm gay, then I'm going to have sex with gays. And as a gay journalist, I have sex with a gay journalist.
Let me ask you, if a guy is a gay mechanic,
yeah,
does he only have sex with gay mechanics?
You tend to go in that direction, sure. Look, you're a straight radio personality. How many radio personality girlfriends have you had?
I've had a few.
Aha! See, so that proves it.
I'm not looking for them, though. I'm not going, better only have a relationship with a female in the radio business.
Yeah, well, that's what you say. So I have sex with gay, you know, it's none of your business, by the way. My gay partners are gay journalists, then beautiful, only beautiful women, only top-notch beautiful women. And I'm talking about top-of-the-line, creme de la creme. And, you know, and that's just the way it is.
You know, I want to ask you something, Doug. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, if you're going out with a beautiful woman and she's going out with you instead of a straight man who wanted to date her, do you ever get these straight guys that are angry at you?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times. But what are they going to do about it? You know, I don't take no mess. And if I want to go out with a straight woman, and I'm a gay man, gay journalist, and even if I had sex with her, I got stopped by a guy who was coming out of a girl's apartment one morning, and I'm a gay man, okay? Okay, Phil?
Yes, Doug, yes.
Oh, man, what a...
I'm not a homophobe. I know you're...
Yeah, you almost said straight.
You did, Mr. Henry. You almost said straight.
Gay. I know you're gay.
All right. I'm coming out of this girl's apartment, and guess what? Here comes the boyfriend. He gets out of his car. He gets out of a Volkswagen and walks over and goes, "Were you know, it's such, that's none of your business, shorty." And he said, "Well, you know, I heard you're gay." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Are you up there having sex with my girlfriend?" I said, "She doesn't look like it's your girlfriend right now." I said, "I just got out of her bed. And on top of that, man, yes, I have been AIDS tested. Is that what you wanted to ask me?" And he's all, "Well, never mind." And he got back in the car. So,
but one of these guys is going to pull a gun on you, man. Or worse.
Don't worry about it. And you get all overly dramatic about this stuff, Phil. I'm just trying to tell you, I go out with gay journalists, I go out with beautiful women, then the next step is I go out with average-looking women, and then I go out with gay anything else, mostly auto mechanics and elevator operators. And
elevator operators?
Yeah, way down the social... And then the last of the last, I go out with ugly girls, and then I just... Then I look at magazines. So that's the pecking order there, and I just think you need to get with it, and you don't know what's going on. Now, Joe Francis I looked at Joe Francis and I said, there's a guy that's asking for trouble when he called the jury effing retarded, because when they come back, they're going to throw the book at this guy.
But Joe Francis has been beating the rap on all kinds of things, it seems like, for a long time. He's still a very wealthy man, apparently, and seems to have a charmed life.
Well, I don't think he's going to be charmed for very long. Joe Francis is one of these guys. He ought to be gay. If ever I saw a straight guy that would do way better gay, it's Joe Francis. I think it's a waste of straight. I think Joe Francis is a waste of a straight gene. Now, I know he's a successful businessman, and I don't fault him for that. But when it comes to his relationships with women, he would be way better off being on the bottom as a gay.
Oh, man. It sounds to me like you got a real problem with him.
No, I don't have a problem at all.
Well, but that sort of makes sense.
You better believe it makes sense. Joe, if you're listening, Joe, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm telling you, you'd be way better off being a bottom guy in a gay relationship. Now.
All right, let's move on then, okay?
All right, well, I'm just trying to tell you. Now, the other thing is this Jody Arias case. Now, you brought up something I think is very interesting, and I've been at the Jody Arias, off and on, I've been trying to go into Arizona for this case. I got 9 other stories I'm writing. I basically carry that rag down there, that Orange County Courier. If it wasn't for me, they wouldn't even have a newspaper. And meanwhile, I got my niece and my nephew here. I'm babysitting them because my brother and my sister-in-law, they're off to another Hawaiian island someplace. So, you know, I got a lot going on, man. And I'm trying to do the best I can, okay?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God, he sounds like he's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, do you think so? I don't know if we should call him back or not.
I don't know, man.
Was he okay, bud, when you called him?
Yeah, he's fine.
He probably is overworked. He probably is overworked, you know? I'll tell you one of the things that's overworking that guy is this whole gay man, gay journalist, gay man, gay journalist. He ought to just back off of that, you know?
No, Phil, that is Doug's identity. That is his... That's his persona. That's his public persona.
Well, he's just constantly hammering it, and if anybody... He feels... It's like he's got to protect it like it's a fort. All right, we'll be right back. See if you can get Doug back on the line. He doesn't have to go on the air. I just want to make sure he's all right.
Yeah, okay.
Phil Henry Show.
No, I'm gay.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back. Doug Danger's back with us. Doug Danger's back with us. Listen, I'm sorry, Doug.
No. I got to apologize. I hung up on you. I shouldn't have done that.
But I know you're under a lot of pressure. You got a lot of jobs to do there at the paper, and you are taking care of your niece and nephew.
Yeah, and I keep telling them to turn down the TV. Honest to God, you guys.
Did they do their homework?
Yeah, they did, so I'm having a hard time. You know, they come over. I'm the uncle, so...
Well, this is like the second time I've talked to you and you've been babysitting them.
Yeah, let me tell you what. My brother Eric is works for the David Murdoch. He works for that Dole Pineapple, right? So he goes to Hawaii and he does a lot of business trips over there. And like half the time he takes his wife, you know, my sister-in-law Katie. So that's fine. I don't no problem with that. But you know.
Well, maybe you should stop saying yes to babysitting.
Well, I would, but who's going to take care of him?
Well, come on, man. Isn't there any other family?
I don't know. I mean, my brother's here. That's it. I only have my brother. Our parents are dead. So I guess I'm it.
Well, I think that sucks that they're you know, laying it on you.
What did you mean you don't know if you have family?
I don't know. Hell, my old man got around. I could have a half-brother out there. I could have a step. I got all... You know, the apple don't fall far from the tree, and the fact is, we are trash originally from North Carolina, no question about it. You know, I come out here, my parents come out here after, I was the first one to come to California, then my parents moved out here when they retired, and...
Where do they live?
They're dead now, but they were in...
I know, and I'm sorry to hear that.
But they were in Laguna Beach. Now, my brother Eric lives in Westlake Village, that's where the Dole Pineapple is. and I'm down here in Orange County, okay? Well, that's fine. I love my niece and nephew, don't get me wrong, but it's like late at night, and I'm trying to tell you I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right, now just relax, okay? You guys have a feature that you're running that Margaret...
Yes, I want to tell them about Whose Ass is Kickable. Is that the article?
Yeah, Whose Ass is Kickable is an idea that I had when I saw these child stars, and I said to my editor, Gene Percy, I said, look, why don't we do Whose Ass is Kickable? He says, what are you talking about? I said, leave it to me. Just get out of my... Well, I usually say to my editor, I'll say, hey, because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, I'll say, hey, look, Gene, back off, just back up and give me room, okay? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, give me room. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, okay. I said, I got an idea, and the idea is this. Whose ass can I kick, or whose ass is kickable? And that's going to do two things. It's going to take a lot of the pressure off of me that I've been under to run this paper because you guys couldn't run a Chinese fire drill to take care of my niece and nephew who are over, you know, because my brother's, you know, off on vacation with his wife, to do every article in this newspaper. I got to get up and do a cover, you know, all kinds of gay, you know, you got me on gay pride parades from here to Christmas. And every gay pride parade I get sent out to. And that's why I've become very homophobic. And
well, that's a new one. I'll tell you one thing, Doug. It's interesting to talk to you because of all the gay people I've talked to, man, you are really weird.
I'm weird? What's weird about me?
Having sex with women, your top-level gay journalists, and then when you run through them, now beautiful women.
Only beautiful women. All right, let me... Hold on. Hey, Jerry, why don't you turn the TV down just a little bit? Thank you. Oh, baby.
Well, look, why don't you just put them to bed?
Because they got their homework done. Yeah, I don't know. I'm busy.
It's 11:30 at night.
I'm busy. You know what? They're almost out of school. Hey, there's a reason why they like staying with me, okay? I'm not going to run them like their mom and dad, okay? They'll go back to mom and dad and say, yeah, Uncle Doug is a pain in the ass and everything. So would you go back and tell your dad that I'm just a big bad guy? Yeah, see, they like me. All right, now, here is the feature I want to do. It's called Whose Ass is Kickable, all right? See, this first picture here is Justin Bieber, who thinks he's a badass. Hold on, man. Back it up. Back it up. Back it up, bud. Back it up.
I'm trying to.
But don't click forward until he tells you to, all right? Now we... Okay, there it is.
Back it up, man. Okay, there, yeah. Justin Bieber. I could kick his ass around the block for drill. Okay, let's just talk straight. I don't care how badass he thinks he is. There he is on the left, and he looks like a woman. There he is on the right. He's taking on a little bit of a masculine look.
I want to ask you something, Doug. What about Justin Bieber asking to be taken seriously as an artist?
Well, I think he should be taken seriously as an artist as soon as he does something that, you know, I think the guy's good, and he will be taken seriously as an artist, but the dude, he's a kid, man, and he looks female. I mean, there's all kinds of, it's everything that could possibly be wrong with this guy is wrong with him, okay? And now, he's leading off my new series, Whose Ass is Kickable, and the first thing I say, well, I could kick his ass.
Are you talking about you kicking ass?
Well, what do you think this is about, man? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Yes.
All right, so Whose Ass is Kickable? I've never heard of an entertainment reporter like this.
Well, I think it's refreshingly candid. I think there is,
Now, hold on, will you, Margaret? You know, it's my segment. All right.
Sorry for breathing.
No, well, as long as you don't use up all the air. All right, I'm sorry, Margaret, but I got to move on, okay? I got greener pastures to mow, and so there's Justin Bieber, and Whose Ass is Kickable? I could kick his ass from here to Christmas, okay? You got that one, Phil?
Yeah, I got it, okay. So what are you going to write?
What am I talking to myself, man? I'm going to go...
Well, I'm just going to write, there's Justin Bieber, I can kick his ass.
Yes.
I think that's pretty good, man. I'd read that.
I'd read it, too. There'd be pictures, and there's copy.
Yeah, here's a picture, Justin Bieber. I could kick his ass.
No, man. I talk about how I'd kick ass. Okay?
Why? Why do you talk about that?
Because I think it's something people need to know. I think they need to know about their favorite celebrities and artists and whether I could kick their ass. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I think some of these people, I would never do it to them, and I think some of these people, vicariously, I think the audience wants me to kick ass and take names. So, there's Justin Bieber. I'd kick his ass around the block for drill. Next up, bud. Okay, here is Drew Barrymore. Now, she's a girl. I'd never hit her. I'd never hit a girl. But another girl, if they got into a bitch slap fight, something like that, Phil, and let's say I'm a girl, okay, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. A lot of guys think I'm a girl already. Well, really, step up to the plate, man, because as soon as I get done with Bieber, I'll take you out, too. And
boy, Doug, you know, you've always had this attitude. You've always had this chip on your shoulder.
Well, I wouldn't have a chip on my shoulder. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. So there's Drew Barrymore. Now, if you want, you know, I'm a gay man, so you want to call me a little sissy, okay, fine. If I sissied it down all the way to girl, if I sissied it all the way down to the girl level, and I got into a bitch slap fight with this bitch, I'd kick her ass, too. I'd beat up on Justin Bieber, then I'd morph into a chick, kick her ass off a cliff, because that's the only way you're going to fix that face. And
good God, man.
Where is all this anger coming from, Doug?
No anger, I'm just telling you.
That's the only way you're going to fix that face.
Got that right. So, Drew Barrymore, I love you. Drew, if you're listening, I love you. But if I got sissied down to chick level, I'd beat your ass and drop you head first off a cliff right down here near Carlsbad. Okay, next picture. Next picture. Come on, man. Where is it? Come on, next picture, man. We're burning daylight, man.
There it is.
Oh, Danny Bonaducci. This guy's beautiful. I'd beat this guy's ass like a drum. Now,
come on, man. Now, Danny Bonaducci is a little, he's kind of a badass.
What? A badass? Why, because he's got a tattoo? Let me tell you what, man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, this guy Bonaducci, he may be, to be honest with you, he might be a member of the club. Because didn't this guy get busted with a transsexual or something like that?
I don't know. I think he did.
Yeah. That ain't, you know, that doesn't happen by accident. Any guy that gets busted with a transsexual, he loves it. He was loving it, man. He cries. He's probably breaking down and weeping in his cell because the cops interrupted it. Now, when you look at Danny Bonaducci as he's flexing his muscle there, just imagine me bouncing this guy's head off the hood of a Jeep and then just throwing him like it's an old suit coat into a dumpster. That's what I'd do to him. Next.
Hey, Doug.
Next. Look, we don't have all that much time.
Let me look at the clock, if you don't mind. So Danny Bonaducci, the guy that I saw on TV kick a few asses.
What asses did you see him kicking on TV?
That one guy on stage I told you about. He flipped that guy over his head.
Well, whatever, man. That dude didn't even see it coming. I mean, that guy was being all exuberant and everything, and Danny Bonaducci's in his usual foul mood, and the guy jumped him. So Bonaducci picked the guy up and drove his head halfway through the stage. I mean, I don't think that dude saw that coming. You know, I guarantee you, when I take Danny Bonaducci and I kick his ass around the block for drill, man, I'll send him a telegram. I'll give him a two-day heads up.
Do you hate Danny Bonaducci? Do you have a problem with him?
Not at all. I think he's funny. I think he's tremendous.
Then why would you talk about beating the guy's ass?
Because that's the guy. I could kick his ass. Quit asking stupid questions, man, you know.
All right. Jeez. All right, Brian Bonzal, or Bonzal.
Brian Bonzal. Yeah, I beat his ass. I beat his ass bloody. That guy used to be on the TV. That guy, it was that little tiny kid on, what was that show?
That show was, jeez. Oh, Family Ties.
Oh, yeah, I beat his ass bloody. Any dude that puts on neck tattoos and he's not ganged up or anything like that, was what this Brian Bonzal did. You got to be ganged. If you ain't in a gang and you're doing neck tattoos, you better expect to get your ass kicked. I mean, you'd have to kick a guy's ass like that just to keep everything honest and pure and the American way. All right, so that's that. Next up here is, oh, yeah, Todd Bridges. I'd kick his ass and take names, man. I'd kick his ass and I'd take the names of everybody that just stood there to watch. Next.
Okay, that's it. That's it.
What are you talking about, man? I'm a gay.
Hold on. No. I can't listen to this anymore.
Well, it's fascinating, I think.
Yeah, talk about all the asses you could kick.
Oh, talking about all the asses he could get. Every guy, he's kicking his ass. He even said he'd sissy down to a girl and beat Drew Barrymore by dropping off a cliff. There's something wrong with the guy. He's pissed off tonight. He almost had a meltdown here when he hung the phone up. Yeah, that guy's jacked up, man. Doug Danger, Orange County Courier, catch his report, whose ass is kickable, in the Orange County Courier. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I guess we have to talk about this gruesome situation here where police finally shot and killed this scumbag who hacked that poor soldier to death. It's unbelievable. It's just an unbelievable story. In London, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
what story
is,
that?
Is our in bitch. Mind. The Phil Hendry Show.
right. Welcome back. I'm not going to do that thing.
Well, why would you want to do that?
I don't want to talk about that. There's certain things that will make me commit homicide, and that's one of them. So I don't want to. Talk about it. Anyway, welcome to the program, the world famous Phil Henry Show. That thing in London, it's better left to the authorities, and we'll sort that out later. However, the good news continues here for Charles Ramsey. And this is the gentleman that kicked down the door that got those girls out of that house, those women that had been taken hostage and had been held captive for so many years. And here's a chap who is a dishwasher at a local restaurant someplace. And he's sitting in his house and he says, quote, I'm having my McDonald's, when he hears a woman, quote, going nuts. And he goes over there and she says, I can't get the door open. He says, well, hell, I'll open the door for you. And they started banging this door open. And anyway, he was made famous by this for putting down his Big Mac and help free these women.
Now, how many people, Phil, and I don't mean to be, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, people put a Big Mac down.
I think a lot of people would put down a Big Mac.
Well, I mean, talk about how to have a lunch, you know.
A lot of people, and Phil, this is what I think you don't understand. A lot of people are going to keep on eating that Big Mac because that means more to them, and I know that it sounds unusual, it means more to them than life itself.
The Big Mac.
The Big Mac means more to them than life itself is different from saying that a Big Mac is more important than another person's life, because anybody that says it's more important than life itself, that person needs a psychiatrist.
Yeah, what about the guy who said a Big Mac more important than a person's life?
That person needs a psychiatrist. That person probably needs a whole lot. I mean, look, I don't think, you know, my view of humankind is the following thing. I know that people are afraid, but I think that if people didn't act, it wouldn't be because they would rather enjoy their Big Mac. I think the thing that would keep them from acting is they're afraid. They're afraid of what's going on. They don't want to get involved. That's the most odious and yet probably the most common of all human reactions to emergency, danger, etc. It isn't that we would rather eat our Big Mac. It's that we're frightened and we don't want to get involved and we'd best just stay away.
Well, I mean, that's quite a judgment.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, really? So what about the guy with the Big Macs?
Well, I mean, that guy's got guts and everything, but me, if I had a Big Mac and the lady said, hey, help, 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 I know I'd want to finish it.
Yeah, that's the only thing we're saying.
You ain't saying nothing, man, as usual. You know you want to finish it.
How much is a Big Mac? Bud, do the math. All right.
Yeah, okay.
The Big Mac, the quarter pounder with cheese, or as I've heard you say, whiff chee. What does that mean, whiff chee?
I'm joking around. It's like a working class or a poor person who can't pronounce the TH.
Well, I don't understand it. But anyway, the Big Mac is, I don't know how much money. You get the quarter pounder with cheese. You've got your fries. You've got that. Now a woman is screaming, God help me, he's going to kill me. And you've got two more Big Macs. I think, and I've seen my son react this way, I think that they're going to eat the Big Mac. I think it's bad. I think that those people, yes, you're right, their values are wrong. But Jason J. Delmonico, the woman across the street was robbed about she was kidnapped, that's it. A car pulled up in front of the house. They kidnapped the woman. She was screaming as they dragged her by her hair. And Jason J. Delmonico had, I got to ask him what it was. Jason, honey, if you're listening, it was a Whopper or a Wendy Whopper or something like that.
Wait a minute. Your son saw a woman being kidnapped?
Yes. They're a very wealthy family across the street.
Dragged by her hair into a car.
Don't get dramatic, Phil.
Is that what you said?
Yes, but you're about to indict my son, I can tell.
Well, and what did your son do?
He was eating the McWendy or whatever they call it.
Donald, why did they call it a McWhopper?
A McWhopper?
No, you don't, man. It's Burger King.
Well, it was a McWendy. What's the square hamburger?
That's Wendy's.
It wasn't that.
Yeah, it's probably a...
I don't care, okay? So he was having a hamburger that he liked.
Yes.
And he sat there.
He said he was stunned, and he had the hamburger, and he was chewing on it, and he watched it. He said it was almost like a television show. By the time he realized what had happened, he'd finished the malt, and I said, what else were you doing? And he said, Mom, I don't want to say. And I said, Jason, I'm your mother. I'm Mommy. You know I won't judge you. He said, well, I was doing that bad thing that you're not supposed to do. So I said, all right, darling.
So he was masturbating?
I'd rather you not. It's none of your business.
Well, you brought it up.
It's none of your business. So I said, Jason, darling, all right, so you saw the woman, Mrs. Shermer is her name, you saw her being kidnapped. Yes, Mom. I said, so you ate your hamburger, you finished your malt, and you masturbated. Yes, Mom. While all this was happening. Well, he said, I went and did the last thing after they'd taken her.
So he didn't call the cops?
Not that I know of, no.
He didn't call the police, he didn't call you, he didn't call... He saw this woman being taken away in a car, kidnapped, and he went to his room and masturbated.
I'm going to the toilet.
Oh, come on, will you, Margaret?
No, I won't have my family laughed at.
Oh.
What are you laughing about?
You don't find that funny? I'm laughing my ass off. You crazy? The kid's eating a McWendy or whatever. You guys are really killing me, man. You don't know the difference between a Whopper and what McDonald's serves?
Not a Whopper. I told you it's Burger King.
I don't know. I think. What's your source on that?
Oh, get out of here, bud. A Whopper is from Burger King. What's his source? How about the Burger King stand?
Well, okay, but you don't have it here. I can go get one right now.
No, you're not. Okay, so you guys don't... I bet you, bud, I could take you to In-N-Out and you'd think you're eating McDonald's.
No way, no way. That's a whole different... Are you crazy or something? That's a whole different way of living, man.
A bit, but In-N-Out...
Uh-huh. So if that's all so different, man, how is it you got Whopper being sold at McDonald's?
Whopper, McDonald's, there's no difference between them. But then you go to In-N-Out, yeah, now you're talking, man.
All right. We can't argue with that. But in any event, so you're sitting there. What's your favorite hamburger?
In-N-Out.
What's you, Robert?
Probably In-N-Out. Yeah, my favorite hamburger is In-N-Out or probably...
You know it's In-N-Out.
I know, but there's one other one I like. I like In-N-Out, and I do like Big Mac.
What? You told me it was only In-N-Out.
All right, fine.
What's yours?
Back when I ate hamburgers, In-N-Out. So In-N-Out wins across the board. Now, you got the In-N-Out burger, your favorite hamburger in the world.
Yeah, you got In-N-Out fries, too.
Yeah, those are fine, man.
All right, In-N-Out fries, too, and a chocolate malt.
Yeah.
And you're eating this, and you see a lady getting kidnapped. What do you do?
Probably would call... Depending upon whether I wanted to go to the fry. If I got an In-N-Out burger in one mitt, and I got the other mitts free,
yeah,
I'll probably go to the French fry before I go to the phone.
Boy, you guys have got no moral compass at all.
What?
You got no moral compass at all.
What's that?
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. If I have one mitt free, I go to the fry. Welcome back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Final hour here tonight, and we've got Friday coming up, and then, of course, we have a nice Memorial weekend. That's going to be sweet, and I hope you are going to spend it in the pursuit of, you know, the word recreation, it means recreation, huh?
Yeah, I never thought about that.
That's right. Recreate. So that's what you ought to do. Now, a couple things. Our last broadcast on Talk Radio Network is the 24th, and we're going to be moving into expanding the platform of the Phil Hendry effort, the Phil Hendry Show. So we're not only going to be pursuing aggressively our digital presence, but we'll also have it. We're looking to have a terrestrial presence or a satellite presence, one of the two. There's a reason for that. And some people may say, well, having a radio show. Well, having a radio show these days is really more about promoting your so-called brand. And for our purposes, it will also be for us to return to our show at its strength, which was the use of phone calls from listeners, but in the Phil Henry way. So that's all ahead of us, and as we pursue all of that, I'll try to keep you in the loop as much as I can. If you're an affiliate, be advised we will be in touch with you. If you're an affiliate that wants to stay with us, I should say, be advised that we're going to remain in touch with all of you guys, and we appreciate your patience. And it's a new chapter, and one of the things that is going to be included in it, and I've been talking a lot about it, is a one-man stage show. So we're on stage, and we're interacting with you, our listeners, and I'm doing what we do on the radio, only live. And it's going to be a great opportunity to be with our audience in that particular way, where you guys can come out. A lot of people going out and seeing live theater anyway these days, whether it's comedy, you know, or a single individual show or what have you. And this will be our opportunity to interact with you that way as well. So there's lots of places that we want to take the Phil Henry, I don't know what you would call it.
The Phil Henry Experience.
Yeah, Dick Blanken, are you experienced? If you can just...
Yeah, you do that song if you can get your mind together.
Yeah.
Okay, but it ain't all psychedelic, you know.
Yeah, but you get your mind together. Woo! You know.
He's doing that on purpose.
Don't do the woo, bud.
Why not?
Because it bugs me. So anyway, as I say, stay tuned. Lots of exciting things about to happen. Thanks to Doug Danger for the entertainment report. We were shortened in the final segment concerning the gentleman from where the hell was it? Columbus. Where was that guy anyway? Where did that happen, man? Cleveland, Ohio. Charles Ramsey and the hamburgers. But suffice to say, the guy has gotten a lifetime pass. But we got bogged down in talking to our crew here to find out just exactly what their morality is all about. When I asked Bud and Robert, what would you put your hamburger down to help somebody, not if it was an In-N-Out burger with fries?
Well, man, you asked the question.
Yeah, there's every man, you know, there's certain burger you're not going to put down.
That makes me sick to my stomach that you guys would answer that way.
Well, what's wrong with it, Phil?
You don't understand?
You're asking, the boys didn't say that they wouldn't help. They said that if you're saying put down an In-N-Out burger, now you've got an argument.
Yeah, now you got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of weigh one against the other.
For an In-N-Out burger?
Yeah, I mean, you yourself said you like In-N-Out burger.
I don't like In-N-Out burgers so much that I'm going to sit there and keep munching it while somebody's screaming to get out of a house. She's in with a homicidal... What if she was in there with Michael Myers from Halloween?
What?
The lady that was trying to get out of the house, you're eating your In-N-Out burger...
If she's all, yeah, right.
You talking about who?
Michael Myers from Halloween.
Well, I mean, first of all, Michael Myers is very formidable. Is that it?
Yes, formidable.
And I'm having an In-N-Out. I've got to think about it. That's the first thing you got to do if you have a Michael Myers.
That is true.
You got to think about it. And I'm thinking, and I got the burger, or if I have fry, or if I have a shake.
So you're going to go ahead and finish your burger and your fries and your shake?
Yeah, because you have to think about it.
You got to think about it while Michael Myers is in there slashing and hacking somebody to bits like he did in those movies.
Well...
Remember the movies that we saw with Michael Myers?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Okay, then he's in there with a machete or whatever he did.
Well, one time he took a hypodermic needle to a guy's eyeball.
Okay, fine. And while he's taking hypodermic needles to people's eyeballs, you guys are munching on your In-N-Out, thinking, well, I better get... What, are you trying to get your strength up?
My low blood sugar, yeah.
You don't want... Phil, this sounds silly. Do you want to go up against a butchering maniac like Michael Myers with low blood sugar?
Oh, come on. You guys are just gutless.
What? Dude, can't say that.
I just did. You're gutless. No guts.
Oh, so you'd walk in and confront Michael Myers without even so much as a proper burger lunch or...
No, you're right, Margaret. I would stop down and I would make sure that I had my vitamins before. You guys, you're goofy. You're like typical Americans. Typical Americans. No guts.
How dare you say Americans don't have guts? We're in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting for the freedom.
Look at the anti-war person.
You know what I mean. I saw Medea Benjamin today.
And what did she say?
She said, keep up the good work.
Well, isn't that she saying that to me or to you?
To you.
Oh. All right. Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper but doesn't get nude in We're the Millers. Well, isn't that too bad? Because that's all I care about. And if she's not nude, then there's no movie. However,
let me see. Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper.
Give me that back. Jennifer Aniston.
I want to see it.
Don't grab stuff out of my... How many times have I told you guys, okay? I bet you have eaten an In-N-Out burger. You wouldn't have grabbed this out of my hand.
If I had one mitt free.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper in her new movie, We're the Millers. But those looking forward to seeing the star take it all off and see how hot her ass is are in for a... It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. But those who are looking forward to seeing the star take it all off are in for a serious disappointment. She's as flat as two billiard balls on a coffee table. That's not flat, is it?
You meant ball bearing.
Ball bearings. Anyway, the 44-year-old actress told Chelsea Lately host Chelsea Handler, who does take her clothes off in public quite often, that she doesn't do... It doesn't say that. Quit trying to look. That she doesn't do full nudity in the film and actually wore three bras on top of one another to cover herself up. What? While she doesn't get completely naked, Aniston made sure to take her clothes off when she got into other clothes. And she... I'm kidding. Aniston made sure to step up her workout routine in order to get ready for the racy role. She wanted to make sure, quote, her ass was taut and that you could bounce a quarter off of it, and that her breasts were full.
Well, why don't you say it the way it's written, Phil? No one knows what you're talking about.
I'm having some fun with a copy. I'm sorry. Aniston made sure to step up her workout routine in order to get ready for the racy role. The actress told Extra that she credits her super toned body to her friend and yoga teacher, Mandy Inger, and doubled the amount of yoga she normally does. You get up to my age and you're going to do a little bit more, she said. Aniston seemed to have a lot of fun playing a stripper in the film, telling Extra, stripping was so much fun. I had a great choreographer. She was fantastic, and it was to great music, and it was fun, and it was great. We're the Millers hits theaters on August 9th.
Why are you reading that with such disrespect?
Because it's obviously a story that a publicist got. It's not a story here, okay?
But it's a story there. Jennifer Aniston showing her butt and everything.
It doesn't say... I'm telling you that it is a story that is written... the person that wrote this couldn't have been more bored. Because she's talking about her yoga. She's talking about this, talking about that. Nobody cares. Nobody goes to see Jennifer Aniston movies, I'm sorry to say. I'm sorry that she's very funny. She's terrific. She's got a fantastic publicist. They keep her name out there in public. She's doing this, she's doing that. But it ain't like she's setting the world on fire. Take a look at her. And if you want to compare people, let's compare her to who?
All right, Angelina Jolie.
All right, Angelina Jolie. Go ahead.
Well, I think Jennifer Aniston, on the whole, compares very well to Angelina Jolie. First of all, I think Jennifer, if I may say, is a more wholesome kind of beauty. I think Angelina Jolie, while beautiful, her lips are too full. Her face puffs into that...
You're going to say it.
It puffs into a slut. There's a slut pout that I've often talked about in my column.
A slut pout?
Yes. Now, Jennifer Aniston is also very athletic. Angelina Jolie hung with Billy Bob Boob, whatever that guy's name is, Billy Boob Bobby or something.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton. Oh, there's a piece of work. The man looks as if he's done nothing but snorted off a hunting knife since he was three. He looks like someone who, if he runs out of methamphetamine, he starts cracking open capsules of Adderall. And just, you know, I can just see him. It's disgusting. I find him very sexy. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure that he's packing something. Anyway.
All right. So, in other words, Angelina Jolie is hanging with a cooler, hipper crowd. And she's, you know, she just is more interesting. So that's why you don't want to say she's more interesting than Jennifer Aniston. You think Jennifer Aniston is.
Yes, I think. No, I don't want to. I'm not hiding anything, Phil.
Well, then why don't you just come out and say it? You think Angelina Jolie is more interesting.
I don't think she's more interesting. I think she's probably had way more sex, taken far more drugs, and has done way more interesting films. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, that you had to get the slam in, though, about the drugs. Okay, so, and Jennifer Aniston, in your opinion, is?
She's just not getting it done. Her face, I don't know, her face ain't making it.
What do you mean her face ain't making it?
Compared to Angelina Jolie, Jennifer Aniston's face doesn't make it.
Doesn't make it or naked?
I said make it.
All right, Margaret, God.
Well, listen. I think in the words of Bradford Dillman in that great film Magnum Force, it wasn't Bradford Dillman. It was Bradford Dillman to whom Clint Eastwood said the words, your mouthwash ain't making it, you know?
So
that's probably what Jennifer Aniston's problem, her mouthwash ain't making it.
She said nothing about Jennifer Aniston's mouthwash. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's got to be a reason why she's struggling.
Well, it ain't her mouthwash.
And how do you know?
Because I don't think it is. Because I'm going out on a limb and I'm saying that Jennifer Aniston's doing fine. And if she's not doing fine, if there's trouble, it ain't because of her mouthwash.
All right, her face ain't making it.
It's not about her face. It's not about her face at all. I think she's perceived a certain way. I think she's a comedian.
A comedian. Look at you doing the French.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, Miss Gray, he's been doing that a lot lately.
Oh, are you making reports to Margaret on what I'm doing behind the scenes?
No.
Well, then don't.
Well, you did do the French there, Phil.
Yeah, Phil.
All right, fine. So what? Let's move on, okay? I'm getting sick of this. So, yeah, I don't think that Jennifer Aniston, I believe that she's perceived a certain way. Maybe it's because she wants to be. She does comedies. She's a comedian. She, Angelina Jolie has done drama and is the scion of a great American acting family, to wit, John Voight. Marijuana, the next diabetes drug? Maybe. Toking up may help marijuana users stay slim and lower their risk of developing diabetes. But according to the latest study, which suggests that cannabis compounds may help in controlling blood sugar. Are you ready for that? The very thing that caused most of us to discover Oreo Double Stuffs is now going to help us lose weight? Ha, 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 ha! We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Gentlemen, I found a story here that just, I always avoid pet stories, not because I don't like pets, but because they always just, you know, they break my heart or I can't take it. You know, I can't take read, even if it's good news, it's hard for me to get into the story because there's always some bad stuff that happened in between. I don't know what it is about animals. I don't know why we are the way we are as human beings. We seem to have a better ability at relating to animals than we do to other human beings. And I realize that for some human beings, it's easier to relate to animals because relating to humans for some humans is traumatic. You know, it's been a difficult thing their whole lives. You know, you can't, your parents, your siblings, you just had a hard time, you know?
Yes. And now you're living in a darkened building that's been abandoned for years. And the only thing you can relate to is a dog until you make your next kill. Good Lord.
What are you talking about?
Well, you're endorsing, Phil, these hermit types. That are the only time they go out during the day is to mail off their next bomb and then come home and feed their dog off of their own plate. No, I know the type.
Oh, come on. Now, I'm not talking about that. I mean, animals are easy for a lot of us to relate to. That's just how it is. It's the way it's always been. What do you want from me, okay? There's a dog story here in the news today that I thought I would grab. And this is from the tornado-wrecked state of Oklahoma. And it has to do with a dog that was found standing guard over a tornado victim, even as this poor animal had been lost to his or her owners. I guess he's a he. And here's the dog. Let's see if I can get the picture of this little doggy. He's right here. It says view photo. So I'll click on that. Those of you who are watching Phil TV and HD. He's a black and white dog. He was standing guard over a tornado victim and was finally reunited. It's a she, a female, and was finally reunited with her owner. There's a happy ending to the story of a dog found alive in the rubble after a massive tornado devastated Moore, Oklahoma. She's been reunited with her owner. Because Susie was found standing guard over a body, officials believed she belonged to one of the victims of the storms. CSO deputies searching for victims found a 13-year-old, this dog is a border collie mix, standing guard over a deceased male inside a house in Moore. The deputy convinced the dog to leave the side of the deceased victim and eventually made sure the pup was taken to an emergency tornado animal shelter. The department, who initially tweeted out the photo in the immediate aftermath of the storm, later added their sad context to the story. Story behind dog picture, the dog was standing guarding its deceased owner, taken to shelter. Deputy plans on adopting, twitter.com, and then they tell you the deputy's name. And this is from the Oklahoma County Sheriff. But then good news. The owner's sister saw one of the photos and contacted the department on Facebook. Sheila Collins told them that the dog belonged to her brother, Curtis, who lives about a half of a mile from where Susie was found. He'd been looking for the dog since the storm, and eventually the two were reunited. How about that?
That's pretty sad.
Oh, don't. He's bawling.
Well, it's a sad story, Phil.
How about that? He's standing guard over a deceased person, a border. Look at, there's Susie. And she was, now what? It's just that she maybe this was somebody that was alive at one point, and then Susie and then died, and so Susie, does that happen? I don't know.
You'd have to get the dog whisperer or something like that.
Yeah, get a dog whisperer on there.
Well, I'm not gonna go call the dog whisperer, but I guess it's something like that. You know, who do we know that's a dog person?
Well, let's see. I can call up Art Griego. I think he knows a dog. And there's a few people, Jim Melvecchio.
Oh, Jim Melvecchio or Don Dugan. Either one of them.
I don't know Don Dugan. I wouldn't know Don Dugan if I fell over him.
Well, get to know Don Dugan because Don Dugan wants to know you. That's his slogan.
Yeah, he's a dog trainer.
Get to know Dog...
He didn't say Don Dugan. God, Phil.
What's his name?
Get to know Don Dugan is his name. Get to know Don Dugan because Don Dugan damn well needs to know you.
And that's a dog trainer, and that's his claim, huh? That's his advertising?
Yeah. It's on the side of his, it's on his car and on the side of his car. It's on a car.
You guys, if English is your second language, just let me know, okay? That way we can cut through all the horse dung. It's on the side of a card?
No, on the side of a car.
On the side of a car. And his name is Dog Dugan.
No, it's Dong, not Dong.
You said Dong.
It's Doug.
It's Don Dugan.
Don Dugan.
He sounds like he's half out of his mind, but go ahead, get him on the phone. We'll talk to Don Dugan, because you got to get to know Don Dugan. He damn well needs to know you. He's a dog trainer, and he'll tell us why that dog was standing over that dead body. It's quite a compelling story. The dog is reunited with her owner. Her name is Susie, and she was reunited with Mr. Curtis Brown, I think was the family. Curtis Collins. He lived a half a mile away from where Susie was found, and Susie was finally convinced by the sheriff. You can imagine the sheriff had to go easy with this dog. It was probably growling. It probably did not want to have any hands put on it. And so they had to do a little talking to Susie before she finally came out of the house and went with him. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Wow.
Doug Dugan, not.
Dean, Don Dugan, or Don the Dong Dugan.
Don the Dong Dugan, I don't know.
Hello. Hi. Don Dugan. Well, that's a border collie mix. Well, those are mixes. That's a border collie mix. It's a good dog.
Phil Henry.
All right, it's a border collie mix. It's a good dog.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don Dugan is on the line with us. Mr. Dugan is a dog trainer from Culver City, California. And, Don, thanks for joining us at such a late notice.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Phil.
Now, did you hear about this little collie mix that they found in Oregon?
I did. As a matter of fact, we're following it. Is that the woman's car? That's the same woman.
Is that her car? That's Bobby Dooley's car?
All I know is I talked to a lady here a moment ago who said that she was on your show. I said, well, I'm about to go on the show, too. And she said, you're kidding? And I said, no, I'm not. And she's still waiting for AAA as we speak.
You're kidding me. Would you get on the phone?
I told her about it.
I'll go inside. There's a hotel here, and I can go inside and see if I can't get some help for the lady.
No, you don't have to do that. She's got all the help in the world she needs. She should have had help an hour ago.
Well, she's talking to another man here. She says it's her husband. But they can't get this car alarm shut off, so I offered to help, and I probably should not have, Phil, because I want to just talk to you about this. It's a very fascinating story that we're talking about here. Let me go into the lobby here. This is a complex around here.
Hi.
And I'll sit down.
Okay, Don, thank you very much. It's funny how I can explain this to guests on my show a million different ways, and you're the only guy that figured out how to go out of a lousy area and go into an area that we can work with.
Well, it's my pleasure.
All right, so this collie mix.
Right. Saw that publicized this afternoon, and I talked to my partner, Gina Juarez, and she told me that these border mix collies are oftentimes are a different kind of an animal. At one time, they were used, as you probably know, Phil, as on farms, used to herd animals, especially these dogs that are low to the ground. They can act as sheep herders. A border collie is a very, very good animal, a farm animal, and herding animals and this kind of thing. So they tend to do a lot of human work, and they tend to do and they tend to work well with humans. What I suspect happened here with this little border collie mix is that she got frightened. She left the area where she lived, the area of the home where she lived. She might have gotten confused, or at least she got disoriented at some point. Came to a house. She probably saw smoke in a chimney, and there might have been a light on. And so she immediately decided that she would try her luck there. But I don't doubt that that was the first house that she went to. It was probably the third or the fourth.
What do you mean, smoke in the chimney?
Well, if she's walking down a street...
Well, are you saying that a dog recognizes normal human comforts?
Well, I'm not sure what you're... What are you asking?
Well, what I'm asking you, and what I think Margaret is asking, is he saw smoke in the chimney.
Well, you know, he saw... A dog can see that human habitation is right around the corner. You know, a dog can tell if there's good times ahead or if there's bad times. You know, a dog can tell. If a dog sees smoke in a chimney, he knows his troubles are over. And it's not too different from the song that was sung in the 30s, you know, Rover's troubles, they're all over. Roll over, Rover, my troubles are over. There's smoke in the chimney. And there's something about a black or what they called in those days a colored hand. But it goes, move over, Rover, your troubles are over. There's smoke in the chimney and then something about a colored band. And then it goes on and says, we came across the border down Mexicali Way. You came in handy, but now it's time to say goodbye to your Rover. Where is my gun? Once I finish you, then I'm done. Now,
what is that about?
Well, it's a Depression era song about a guy that can't feed himself or his dog any longer, and so it's going to be a murder suicide.
Can we get into why it is we're talking to you, please? Don, I brought you on the program.
No, I know why you brought me on the program, Margaret. I'm very happy that you did. This is a beautiful animal.
Why did that dog stand guard over a dead body?
Well, because I suspect you were correct initially, Phil, that the man was alive. I think that the dog was scared, and the dog saw a fire in the hearth and probably a chance to get warm and knocked on the door.
A dog knocks on the door.
I'm sorry, not knocked on the door, but made his presence known, and the man inside the house, who I believe was most likely already injured, crawled to the door, however he did it, opened the door, and the dog came in
And I'm saying all this in human terms. I don't believe that the house was even standing. It was probably a pile of rubble, and this guy crawled out of the rubble and brought the dog. But I'm imagining that there was a fire and a smoke in the chimney, and then the dog came in, introduced himself. Of course, no dog can introduce himself.
Why are you then putting it this way?
So that people can understand the word, the world of an animal. This is what we do, what we treat. This is how we train our owners to understand the world of an animal. So the dog came in and started making himself some breakfast while this guy crawled over to a corner of the room to die. In reality, the dog came in and just started eating some kibble out of a bag that the guy probably gave him. And the dog stayed with this man as he slowly died. Or, if you want to put it into the human terms again, as this guy laid there and died. I guess it's the same thing.
I don't understand. I don't understand why it is you can't just say the dog came into the shelter, the man was very, very hurt, and yet the two of them, for a little piece of time, bonded in some way. The man provided food for the dog stood guard over him, the man died, and the dog, being what he was very loyally standing guard over him. Now, the sheriff say that they had to convince the dog.
Well, absolutely, because the dog was standing guard over his new master, and dogs, you don't want to get between, it, as they say, a dog and his meat. Well, don't get between a dog and well, I was going to say dead meat, but...
All right, let's knock it off with the jokes, okay?
I'm not making a joke. The dog was going to be loyal, and so obviously using food and other coaxing. If you remember that Depression-era song, it was about the dog, don't stand over me on my day. I think it goes like this. Don't stand over me on the day I die. There won't be kibble. There won't be pie. You lived a long time on steak and pudding, and now, you know, it ain't nothing. I'm going to die and go to people heaven. You're going to die and go to dog heaven. If there's a hell, and I pray that there isn't, you'll go to dog hell. Doesn't that, and I forget how what the last word is. And
why? What is the song about?
About this guy who he figures his dog's going to go to dog hell while he goes to people heaven because the dog, something about how the dog ate everything. So,
okay, look, Don, do you know anything other than dog songs?
I happen to be a dog. I'm a certified dog trainer.
Yes, that's what I told Phil, but you're giving us a lot of dogs. What I want to know is, all right, so you answered why the dog stayed there.
That's exactly right. The dog and the man bonded. And I use song, I use dance, I use everything that I can to get people to understand dogs. I love dogs. Don't get me wrong, you know.
Well, I know that you do, Don, but there's some of the technique you're using.
I know it's unusual, but you see, I use song, I use dance, I use costume, so that I can convince the people that have animals, you've got a very special creature here. And a dog is a very special creature. If you train an animal like a dog well, this animal can do so much for you in terms of people who need the special needs people, in terms of families, in terms of just enjoyment of a dog. So I will use a straw hat. I use the large Las Vegas dance outfits with the big feathers.
When would you use that?
When I'm teaching the owners.
Yeah, but when would you use a big...
Oh, well, you want to give them a large stage show. I've gotten into drag because what you're doing is you are teaching them about their dog, and you have the family sit in the living room. I dim the lights, and I come out dressed as a woman. And
what's the reason for this?
This is how he teaches the owners.
No, I know that, but what are you...
I'm teaching the owners the relationship between dog, between man, the evolutionary compact. It's a very big story, Phil. It's a very big story. Do you want me to start it now?
No, I just wonder why you're coming out in a palm frond dressed like a Vegas showgirl.
I'm dressed like a Vegas showgirl because that applies to that part of the lesson. On dogs, evolution of dogs, the original wolf, the Western China, the origins of the dog, the Middle Eastern development. Do you understand? This is a long, long, long process. By the time we get to something that looks like that border collie, when it used to be a wolf that stood about 5 feet tall and about 10 feet long, and it was a monstrosity that could kill anything in its path, would kill every Christian soul it saw. And now we've got that little tiny itsy-bitsy border collie. You want to laugh until you pee, until you see the original wolf.
And the only way to deal with that is to laugh. And that would be to go out into the wild dressed as a Vegas showgirl and go ahead and just throw your, cast your fate to the wind.
Look, Don Dugan is a dog trainer, and he's on a show here talking about...
Well, you sound confused.
Hold on. Yeah, well, I am. Hold on. Don Dugan is with us. He's a dog trainer talking about dogs. You go out into the wild dressed as a Vegas showgirl.
Yes, because what you're doing is you're contacting the canine in his environment, and you're dressed in such a way as you lose your consciousness of civilization, and you begin to meld into the scenery as an animal. Now, if I'm dressed in drag, lipstick, high heels, I mean, I'm ready to go as a woman. I've shaved. I'm at that point, I've lost connection to myself and anything that makes me feel good. And now I'm just a very weird-looking queen staggering. You people don't get it.
No, we do. Hold on.
I'm wasting my time. I try and I try.
Don, you speak a different language.
Oh, no, I know that, but I can tell by the silence you don't give a damn, so... Thank you very much.
La, la, la. He hasn't hung up yet.
Don, hang up, darling. Da, da, da. Da, da, da. Don, you have to hang the phone up.
But why don't these people hang up?
I don't know.
La, la, la. Oh, here's the phone. I didn't hang it up.
Okay, your friend, huh?
I've known Don Dugan for years, and he's always made himself very clear to me. I don't know what he was talking about.
What are you talking about drag queen for?
Because he thinks that that's how he can abandon his connection to civilization and become all in with the dog if he staggers through the snow in high heels. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what is that? We are not going to be back.
That's right.
The Phil Hendry Show. Bill Hendry Show.
What are you doing, bud? I got a story. Here's a Romney wins Ohio, splits Super Tuesday with Santorum. What the hell are you doing?
That's a glitch, because that says, look right there, May 20, 2013.
Yeah, this has got links. The story that I was going to read to you guys, which I, you know, it has to do with this dentist. And this guy, I'd heard about this guy. This guy, when's the last time you were at a dentist, bud?
Last year.
Bull crap. That's another thing I want you to do.
He's got to go to the dentist, bud, because sometimes your breath, bud. Oh, God.
I told Vivian says it's like lilacs in the springtime.
Yeah. Anyway, look at this. This horrible dentist put 7,000 patients in danger. I don't know why this guy, or any dentist, or any doctor for that matter, I don't know how it is that they get to a point where they don't give a damn anymore. Taking care of business. I mean, what the hell? The dude's been practicing dentistry for 30 years. 30 years! He's been an oral surgeon in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he set off a local health panic after the health department discovered his disgusting office practices may have infected thousands of patients. Now, it isn't like the guy was trying to get away with it, because as soon as they uncovered all this, he voluntarily gave up his license to practice dentistry. One wonders what else he can do for a living. He's just cashed in a whole career, and it didn't have to be. The Tulsa Health Department is sending letters to more than 7,000 current and former patients. What, bud?
There's about to bet the tornado.
It's got nothing to do with the tornado.
Yeah, but it's in Tulsa.
So, it's in Tulsa. It's got nothing to do with the tornado.
But it's in Tulsa.
It's got, there's other stuff going on in Oklahoma, even while they're dealing with a tornado. This has got nothing to do with it. What are you saying? The tornado caused this guy to be a bad dentist?
You don't know if the tornado did. What's the tornado going to do, man? Make a guy be a bad dentist, man. If he got hit on the head when he got blown around.
Oh, get out of here, will you? He got hit on the head. This has been going on since before, okay?
Oh, that's all you needed to say, then. You know, I don't got to get hit over the head with it if you want to tell me what's going on.
But we could have hit you over the head until you were unconscious with your skull crushed. and you still wouldn't have been able to figure it out.
Yeah, and then I would not be able to figure it out with my skull crushed.
You got an answer for everything, bud. You're an amazing guy. All right, just let me finish this. Wow. All right, so anyway, Dr. Wayne Harrington is the name of this doctor. The Tulsa Health Department sent out these letters to 7,000 current and former patients warning them that they should be tested for HIV and hepatitis after learning that that one of his patients may have contracted both of these diseases while receiving treatment. Oh, boy. The doctor who'd been practicing dentistry for more than 30 years was accused of a wide swath of health violations, including, now, hold on to your hat, rust-covered dental instruments, reusing needles to deliver drugs, using unlicensed assistants, and pouring bleach on open wounds as a disinfectant. In addition to the shoddy sterilization and cleaning practices, the office failed to keep track of his office drug supplies, leaving cabinets open and unsupervised and losing track of drugs that are supposed to be highly controlled substances. Failure to follow some drug control procedures can be a felony under federal law. There's certain drugs that are, you know, you can't just get them with a prescription. So this guy is just a mess. This guy's just a mess. So he got a dental license, and who knows how long this stuff's been going on in this office. He got a dental office. He's got a dental practice. It's actually an oral surgeon, which means he's like taking out wisdom teeth and doing some heavy, you know, he's doing some heavy stuff. Now, the good news is that the transmission of HIV and hepatitis B and C through dental work is extremely rare. The Center for Disease Control told CNN that the patient who started the investigation was the first instance that they're aware of where someone contracted hepatitis C from a dental procedure. But since Dr. Harrington was also a Medicare provider, he reportedly had a high percentage of patients who were already infected, raising the risk factors for his office. There are also many other less serious blood-borne viruses and other infections that could have been spread through his dental practice. 7,000 people.
Well, it makes you wonder who are the people that went there. See, buyer beware.
Yeah, you gotta say buyer beware.
Buyer beware. Yeah, okay, buyer beware.
Buyer beware.
Yeah, buyer beware.
Yes, buyer beware.
Okay. So the guy is a buyer. So what are you telling me, man? I mean, I go into a dental office.
Can't you see that they're using different needles?
No, you can't see that. What do I know, man? I can tell you one thing, and this is all I know. I see the doctor, when you walk into a doctor's office, especially when you go into a dentist's office, they have stuff laid out. And I would say that if you're a patient at a doctor's office or wherever it is, man, you got to see if you're going to get a shot, they should have the needles laid out with the caps on them. They should have the vaccine or whatever it is that you're going to get. It should all be there, ready to rock and roll. And if it isn't, when you go in there, then a nurse comes in, right? Am I wrong about this?
Well, yes, but some of the, and I don't mean anything about my doctor's nurses. Some of these nurses get you talking. Oh, how are you, Mrs. Gray? Isn't that nice? Yada, yada, blah, blah. And they're trying to keep you focused on their dull conversation. I don't know what they're doing with the other hand. Are they...
What?
Well, are they injecting themselves with...
Margaret, I doubt it.
Yeah, I probably doubt that.
Well, you don't know, bud.
Hold on, I doubt it. But usually you go into a doctor's office, you sit down, and the nurse comes, hey, how are you today? I'm fine. And she pulls out all the stuff he's going to need. She's pulling out the shot. She's pulling out the this. She's got your chart. You know, and they say, the doctor will see you in a minute. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I always do. That's right.
Okay. Now, or if you go to the dentist, it's the same thing. They'll have all the stuff laid out there, you know. And so you're ready to go, man. He ought to be wearing a surgical mask. You know, all that stuff.
When did they start wearing surgical masks?
In the 80s because of the AIDS scare. So if he ain't doing that, guys, then don't go to your doctor. Go see another doctor. I'm beat. All right, we'll be seeing you tomorrow night, or tonight, actually, at 10 on the Pacific Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. The Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, and our good friend, Mr. Dan Northcraft. And, of course, hit us up at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Backstage pass is always a Marvy thing. Wait a minute, I don't want the flag yet. Bud, what are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
I want my beautiful ocean. There's the beautiful ocean. So in any event, make sure you hit us up tonight at 10, 1 o'clock on the East Coast for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And until we see you tonight, let that be a lesson to you. Man, this is really good looking. See that?
Phil Hendry.